Good morning and welcome to Faith and Family. I'm Liz Hoffman, the host of the show. Faith and Family is underwritten by our friends at Concordia University, Wisconsin. Check out their website and all the good things they have to offer. We have a link to Concordia on our website, and that is kfuo.org. Well, this week on the show, we've been talking about Lutherans and education. We've had a different guest each day of the week talking about various areas of Lutheran education. Now, I want to remind you that if you missed out on any of our shows, you can still hear them at any time. Just go to kfuo.org, click on the archives, where you'll find all of the great shows throughout the whole day, and Faith and Family as well. But you can find the show and listen to it at any time from anywhere. So yesterday we talked with Dr. Angus Manouge from Concordia University, Wisconsin. He talked about the importance of a Lutheran higher education. Our guest today is Jocelyn Benson, who serves as head teacher of something I think is really exciting. It's Wittenberg Academy. It's an online classical high school for Lutherans. Jocelyn serves on the Wittenberg Academy faculty as well. She's a psychology teacher, and she lives in Chatfield, Minnesota with her husband, Justin, and they have three boys. Jocelyn, welcome to Faith and Family.
Thank you so much for having me, Liz. Great to be here.
Well, we're excited to have you and anxious to hear all about this. Tell us a little bit how learning has changed maybe over the past 20 years.
Well, a lot of different things have happened in the course of the past 20 years. Probably most notably, if we think just, you know, from a flyover view of education, technology has really been one of the things that has come into the classroom. We went 20 years ago, there was a computer, an Apple IIe, or, you know, there was maybe Oregon Trail somewhere
right
along the lines in a classroom. But we have come from that point to having schools operating very closely with iPads, other devices. It's basically become part of the everyday life of students. We are now teaching students that do not know what life was before the internet, having the internet readily available. And so, if we just think about the magnitude of that little snippet alone, we can think about how much has changed, and it's quite incredible to think about how much has changed, not only in the past 20 years, but also in the past 5 years or the past 10 years.
Absolutely. Yeah, I was going to say that it makes me think of my son doing homework with him the other night. He's 9 years old, and come across a word that he wasn't quite sure on what it meant. And I said, well, let's go get the dictionary. And you know, that was something that really wasn't very familiar to him on how to look something up. And things have changed so much.
Absolutely. We've gone from let's get the dictionary off the shelf to let's Google it. That seems to be our kind of go-to. If we don't know something, let's Google it.
Right. What would you say some of the benefits technology has provided students with when it comes to their education?
Well, definitely a lot of benefits. Access to resources at Wittenberg Academy, and I know I will probably get into this more later, but we use a lot of primary sources, meaning we are reading the original text of things. We don't utilize a lot of textbooks, which are kind of a collection of a lot of other people's thoughts, but we're reading Aristotle and Socrates, and we're reading directly from the mouth of Darwin and some of the other characters that we know throughout history. And so one of the things that technology has brought to us is access to those things. The digital age, digitizing resources, has really created a wealth of opportunity for students to study things that probably 20 years ago, they would have had to not only go to the library, but they would have had to probably interlibrary loan something, if people remember that term, interlibrary loan something from a university. And so in this situation, there's access to things that students haven't had before. There's also not only access to resources, but there's also access to other students. One of the things that we love about Wittenberg Academy is that we're able to bring students together from all over the country and all over the world that are like-minded in their Lutheran beliefs. And again, I know we'll get into that more, but I would say that probably one of the greatest advantages is access to a variety of things in a very short amount of time. Mm-hmm. And as we know, the problem with that is, on the flip side, there's also the danger, because everything that I just talked about also has the opposite, and we don't want to kid ourselves about that in terms of the positives and also the negatives. Whereas we have access to fantastic resources, we also have access to a lot of what I'm just going to refer generally as junk. There is a lot of junk out there, not only from the point of just filth, but also anybody can put anything on the internet that they want. You know, I could go out to the internet and create a web page and say whatever I want, and somebody coming across that perhaps unwittingly would say, oh, well, it's on the internet, it must be true. I'm reading it, therefore it must be true.
Right.
And so there's that danger as well. So it's you know, there are always two sides to every coin, and we have to be aware of that when we venture into the world of technology.
I was going to say, and there has to be a way of educating our kids, you know, to stay away from the junk, or even, I guess, setting boundaries on the computer as far as where it's at in the home, or even boundaries within the computer of what sites can be looked at.
Oh, most certainly, most certainly. And you bring up a very good point, that students should not be alone in this. And a lot of times in our very independent American attitude of I can do everything by myself, we assume independence, and we want to encourage our children to be independent, but we want them to know that they're not alone, not alone in their learning as they are learning their academics, but also not alone as they are growing in their knowledge of the world. And it's good for kids to know that there are boundaries. We wouldn't stick our kid in a car and just say, okay, go have fun. You know, we set time limits on them. The traffic signs set speed limits on them. You know, our world is full of boundaries, and for some reason we seem slow at realizing that technology also needs to have boundaries. And so it's a good thing for parents to know that regardless of what kind of education they have chosen for their families, that it's a family thing. Whether you're in preschool or a senior in high school, education is a family thing.
Very well said. Let's talk about the old school way of educating our kids in a classroom with textbooks. What's some of the advantages of that?
Well, one of the things that we have found as we have studied about classical education, as we have looked at, and I can't remember if I mentioned that during my PhD studies, I worked for my PhD, on my PhD for a while before we decided that I would hit the pause button so we could be at home with our kids. One of my areas of emphasis was the history of education, and one of the things as I've gotten further from progressive education, which is kind of the loose opposite of classical education, is that when you're using a textbook, and I want to be careful to not say, well, all textbooks are bad, because that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying we want to be careful in our use of textbooks, because what they're doing is they are imposing someone else's worldview and point of view and someone else's interpretation of knowledge on the students. And we hear all the time about textbook wars, you know, whatever goes in Texas and whatever goes in California, those are the directions that the textbooks go, and then everyone else just buys those. And so we have a lot of folks across the board. All of us were brought up using textbooks, and one of the things that we want to be careful about and think about is, who is deciding what we're learning? The textbook companies, the lawmakers, the federal government, state government. And so that's one of the things when we think about textbooks and how education has gone. Textbooks really were, if we go back further to when compulsory education began, textbooks were the method of indoctrination. That was the way that the folks could control what students were learning and the pace at which they learned it. So those are a few things, and I don't want to constantly be having a negative outlook on things, but there are a lot of things that we need to look at and say, do I really agree with that? Is that what is best for my child? But there are also advantages to classrooms, the old school way of learning. You have the camaraderie of a classroom. You have the people that are alike in terms of their geographic experience. You know, you think about back in the day when there were country schools, you know, all the kids were involved in the life of the community, and it was the same community. So there are definitely things that we can think about in terms of could we do this better, and there are also definitely advantages to the old school way of doing things.
Right. Now, and we do hear a lot about colleges that offer online courses and degrees, but until now, I haven't heard a whole lot about high school courses. So tell us what this Wittenberg Academy is all about.
Sure. We are in the process of finishing up our first year of offering classes, and it has been an extremely exciting year. Hopefully you can hear the excitement in my voice. I'm beaming actually as I speak.
I'm envisioning your smile. I can just see it.
Yep. I have met the most incredible young people in the process of this, and the most wonderful parents. It has just been a delight. What Wittenberg Academy does is we partner with families. The majority of our students are home educated. We do have some students that are full time with us, meaning that they will graduate from Wittenberg Academy. We have other students that take a class here or there to fill in maybe an area of interest or an area in which their parents feel that someone else could perhaps teach them differently or in a way that they can't. And so the options for Wittenberg Academy in terms of offering classes and partnering with us are definitely varied. We have some students that go to a Lutheran high school, so they go to a brick-and-mortar school, but they're high school didn't offer a class, and so the high school paid for the student to take a class with Wittenberg Academy. And we also have a public school student that is actually doing a substitute credit where the the family decided that they were not really very excited about the one of the classes that was being taught, and so they approached the administration of the brick and mortar high school and said, you know, here's another option. We would like to explore this option, and the administration was supportive of the decision. So we have students from all over the country, East Coast, West Coast, Midwest, and in all different situations, but the one thing that brings them together is their confession. We are unabashedly Lutheran, and we love it. So we offer online courses. We operate on a trimester schedule. All of our classes, one credit with us is 12 weeks long, and so we start right after Labor Day, and we go through the end of May, and we have three different terms, and it's exciting. We offer an entire high school curriculum. As I said, students can graduate from Wittenberg Academy, and starting in the fall of 2013, or for us, it's Michaelmas term, we will be offering an entire 7 through 12 curriculum, so students could start full time with Wittenberg Academy in seventh grade, and go all the way through 12th grade. The one thing I do want to really emphasize, and I know I've said it a couple times, but that we partner with families. We are in no way looking to take over or take from the family. As I said before, education is a family thing, regardless of where you do it, and it's exciting to be part of the education of these students.
That is great. Tell us about how this got started, or what made you, I guess, get into this.
Sure. Well, I'm going to have to blame it on Dr. Jean Edward Veith. My husband is a regular reader of his blog, and he had a post about online education being the wave of the future, mainly for the fact that online education can bring the best teachers to students, regardless of geography. And so it breaks down a lot of barriers. It can bring master students, or master teachers, to students, rather than what we'll call generalists, so people who are educated in a wide variety of things. This is my specialty, and therefore I can teach you, sort of thing. So that got my husband to thinking, and we're both passionate Lutherans. We love being Lutheran, and we both love education. And we were actually on a camping trip, as the case may be, so not in the world of technology at all at the time. And we were talking about the future of our family. I love to teach, but I really wanted to be at home with our kids. And so how could we bring all of these things together? And we started talking and thought, okay, how can we... Actually, the first thing that we thought about was that there are a lot of small Lutheran parish schools that are only able to offer classes up through eighth grade, or maybe even up to sixth grade,
right?
Because of a variety of reasons. And so, what is something that we could do to harness this power of technology to help these parish schools? And then from there, it just kind of exploded, and we thought, oh, but there are a lot of other people that could benefit from this. You know, people out in the western part of Nebraska, or out in the Black Hills, or you know, places that are more remote, that they don't have access geographically to a Lutheran high school.
Right.
And how could we help them? And so we sent out a few emails, and all of a sudden people were saying, yeah, that's a really great idea, go for it. And so here we are today with Wittenberg Academy. We've already opened registration for the 2013-14 academic year, and registrations continue to roll in from from not only current students, but from new students. And so we're just excited about what God has for us in the future. And we are humbly walking forward step by step, just excited to be part of this.
That is great. Tell us about some of these courses that you guys offer.
Sure. We operate, as we've mentioned, we utilize classical education. And there are a lot of different ideas about what classical education is. And just for the record, classical education, as Lutherans, we had it first. A lot of other people will claim classical education as their own, but Luther and Melanchthon were really the guys that really perpetuated classical education back at the time of the Reformation. And so the way that we look at things kind of is the foundation for our curriculum. We look at the liberal arts, the classical liberal arts, plus catechesis. And so essentially what we're saying is you can't separate the two. You can't just have this influx of knowledge, this absorption of knowledge and content without catechesis, because that's what brings it all together. And in fact, if you were to look at it, theology is the highest science. The knowledge of God is the highest science. So backing up and slowing down here a little bit, the trivium and the quadrivium are the basis of our curriculum. The trivium being grammar, logic, and rhetoric, and the quadrivium being arithmetic, geometry, astronomy, and music. And so we have to deviate a little bit from that in terms of offering classes that will satisfy the restrictions that are placed upon families and schools by our federal government. And so we offer all of the classes that would fall under that, but we always come back to the liberal arts plus catechesis. And so looking at science, the liberal arts, the liberal sciences, looking at biology and physics and chemistry and psychology actually being one of those sciences that has been studied for a long time. Melanchthon had a lot to say. At the time they called it philosophy, but psychology grew out of philosophy. So we offer just a whole host of classes, all of your typical classes, but your specialized classes, your grammar, logic, and rhetoric, being able to have a foundation for communication, being able to ask good questions, and then being able to express or communicate what you have learned in a way that people can understand and respond back to you. And that, the grammar, logic, and rhetoric that I just walked through there forms the foundation of all of our classes, whether it's arithmetic or music or science. That is the foundation for everything that we do.
What type of student would you say that Wittenberg is the best for?
You know, we have such a variety of students. One thing that just thinking about a student that may not be best suited for Wittenberg Academy, because I would like to think that we're suited for anyone, and so that list would be very long. And so I think that the list of characteristics potentially that would not be would be a student that is not willing to learn. And so that's a very short list. We have students that are very highly motivated, and we have students that are less motivated, or perhaps are motivated by other things.
Okay. We're going to have to take a short break. I know this is great stuff, and we're excited to hear about it. We're going to take a short break. Whenever we come back, we'll hear more from Jocelyn Benson about Wittenberg Academy. If you want to join in on this discussion, or maybe you have some questions about how your child can get involved and enroll, give us a call, 800-730-2727, or email us to family@kfuo.org. We'll be right back. welcome back to Faith and Family at KFUO. I'm Liz Hoffman, and we're discussing Lutheran education this week. Our guest today is Jocelyn Benson, who serves as the head teacher of Wittenberg Academy, an online classical Lutheran high school. If you have some questions for Jocelyn about learning online, or maybe you've taken some courses and you can share your experiences that you've had, now's your chance. Give us a call and get in on this discussion. If you're in St. Louis, 314-505-7850, or out of St. Louis, 800-730-2727. You can also email us some questions and comments, family@kfuo.org. Now, coming up Monday on Faith and Family, we're going to kick off our week-long discussion on preparing for marriage. What issues should be talked about during premarital counseling to prevent problems down the road? Dr. Buddy Mendez of Concordia University of Irvine, California, is going to tell us. So plan to join us Monday at 11 for Faith and Family. Now, Jocelyn, before we took our break, you were talking about who the online education is kind of intended for. And you were kind of saying that basically it's the student that's willing to work hard and to learn. Is that right?
That is most certainly correct. And I would say that any student that has the support of their family, keeping in mind that we seek to partner with families, or has the support of someone that is willing to be there for them in addition to us, would be well suited for Wittenberg Academy. I'm hard pressed to think of a student that would not be well suited for Wittenberg Academy when you think of it in those terms, but definitely willing to work hard and enjoy their learning in the process. Not to say that it won't be challenging, but there is definitely benefit in being challenged and in having the access to their teachers that online education offers, being able to email and discuss with their teachers different issues. It's a really exciting thing.
Now, I believe you said that they can start at grade 7. Is that right?
Our curriculum beginning next fall will be for a full curriculum for 7th grade through 12th grade. Now, I say that with the caveat of there are definitely some 6th graders probably out there that would be definitely able to tackle some of our courses. And also, we do offer one class at this time for elementary-aged students. I believe our youngest student is 9 and a half, or a little older than that now since we've gone through the year. But we do offer elementary Latin as well. Pastor Heath Curtis teaches an elementary Latin class for us. So anywhere from we also have some 6th and 7th graders taking that class as well. So
what an opportunity for elementary Latin. You know, that's something that you wouldn't have even heard of or thought of 20 years ago, and probably because of location, it's too far away or whatever, but this is right here in front of us for everyone to have access to.
Most certainly. You betcha.
Tell us a little bit about how Wittenberg will keep students active, say, at the high school level. How are they going to keep, how's it going to keep them active in their Lutheran faith?
Sure. We have this idea that there's an inverse relationship between your age and the amount of catechesis that you need, or the amount of Lutheran education that you need. We really like putting our kids in Lutheran preschool, and then it kind of just dwindles from there. And we are of the mind that the older they get, the more need there is to be engaging our Lutheran youth or any youth in biblical solid teaching, because it's a big, scary world out there, and it is our job as parents to educate our children not only for life in this world, but also in the next. As Lutherans, we have a very powerful understanding of our dual citizenship, and so we take that charge very seriously at Wittenberg Academy. That that Scripture and the Lutheran confessions are the foundation for everything that we do. We do have a chapel life, and we're looking forward to expanding that in subsequent years. We follow the Treasury of Daily Prayer. We use that as kind of the foundation for our chapel life. So all of our students have a copy, whether it's electronic or hard copy of the Treasury of Daily Prayer. And so all of our students are reading the same readings and praying the same collect of the day. And it's a pretty neat thing. The one thing I would say is that we in no way want to replace a student's worship life at their own church, at their own parish. But we want to support and encourage what the parents are doing at home, what their pastors are doing, and we want them to know that being Lutheran is being a Lutheran Christian is a very important thing, not only when you're an adult and you have kids, but also right now when you're in high school or when you're in junior high, that you are building a foundation for the rest of your life.
And I believe you mentioned that you have students from several areas of the country. Is that right?
Absolutely. We have students from California. We have quite a few students on the East Coast. We have a hotbed of students in the Midwest. We just had our first student register from Canada, and so we're reaching internationally now as well. And the potential is essentially endless. If you have an internet connection, or in your home, or in the near vicinity to you, you can access Wittenberg Academy. And so in terms of, you know, if there's a missionary family or, you know, in Africa or somewhere around the world that wants a Lutheran education for their children, Wittenberg Academy is definitely an option.
What a great idea and opportunity. That is absolutely great. What about, how are students not distracted? They're obviously going to be online quite a bit doing this. How are they not distracted by constantly checking their email, their Facebook, since they're already on the computer? How is that achieved?
Well, I would have to say that the partnership with families is the key in that. Different families have different rules in terms of and guidelines in terms of online access. Some use website blockers and whatnot, but I'm not going to lie to you and say that our students are never are never distracted, because that is certainly always out there. And I have several students that admittedly will say that YouTube is their guilty passion. They love to peruse around there or whatnot. The biggest thing, I believe, is just the accountability and learning to be accountable to someone aside from and in addition to their parents. Knowing that they have X, Y, and Z due at a certain time or on a certain day is a motivating factor. And if they don't get that done, they lose out not only on the opportunity to learn, but they also lose out on the opportunity to receive the assessment and feedback on whatever they had to turn in. So the temptation is definitely there. I know one of our students had gone to Lutheran school up through eighth grade, and now she's full time with Wittenberg Academy. And she said that the adjustment to going from someone telling her you need to do this at this time, you know, all day during school, to basically having to set her own schedule, that there was a little bit of a learning curve there, and at times she got a little bit behind and was and succumbed to the temptations that were out there in terms of, you know, checking email or whatnot. But as time went on, she adjusted, and things are going great. She's absolutely loving it. So there definitely is a learning curve. But having your family behind you and with you, and having your teachers on the other side of the computer pushing you and helping you and supporting you, it's a pretty cool thing.
Now, I'm thinking back to when I was in high school, and about the only way, I guess, to cheat on something would be to get your calculator or to get something from another student, a friend or something. Is this a concern? Because, I mean, now they can pretty much Google or look up anything online. How does that work?
Sure. Well, we do have an accountability sort of. I encourage our teachers to set things up in their classes to do assessments and whatnot, that if a student is going to cheat on something, the only person that is going to not benefit from that is that student. I do all of my quizzes open book. Why put the temptation there, whatnot? But what I do in addition to that, okay, it's open book and open note, but there's also a time limit. And so you won't have time to go through your entire set of notes or to look back at all the lectures and read and watch all of those while you're doing your quiz. So there are some things that you can do with technology to kind of eliminate or curb that. But we also acknowledge that our students are going to mess up. They are going to utilize the resources at their disposal in an inappropriate way, cheating or copying something off of Wikipedia and submitting that for a paper or something like that. Is definitely a possibility, and we acknowledge that. And if they are caught in that, we definitely rebuke them in a loving way, and then go from there in terms of the consequences of that. Academic integrity is a phrase that is thrown about all over the place, and it's an important thing. As Lutherans, we don't pull punches. We know that we sin. We know that we're sinners, and we acknowledge that, and we confess, and we move forward in the grace that it was given to us on the cross. So,
okay, listeners, what do you think? Do you have questions for Jocelyn about this exciting opportunity for our students today? Give us a call and let us know what you think, or ask her some questions. 314-505-7850 or out of St. Louis, 800-730-2727, or send us an email to family@kfuo.org. There's still plenty of time to ask those questions. Now, Jocelyn, I was going to ask about the grading. How are the students graded?
Sure. You won't find it all that different from any other school or education setting. We have a grading scale just like everyone else. We do papers and quizzes just like everyone else. One thing that we have that that we utilize quite frequently is discussions with our students. And one thing I don't think I've mentioned that I probably should is that all of our classes are asynchronous, meaning they are not live. And so that offers a flexibility for families that students don't have to be logged in at a certain time to hear a lecture. They can access the lecture and the whatever else the teacher provides for them at different times. And one might think, well, how does that work? How does the flow of teaching and learning go? And I know, for instance, in my psychology class that I'm teaching right now, you know, we'll have a discussion that might go for a couple of days, and sometimes a student will run across something in some other realm of life that makes them think of class, and then they'll go back to that discussion and they'll type in about that and maybe share something, and then we'll go back to that and we'll think about that. And so it's just asynchronous classes offer this continual but deep opportunity for pondering and for thinking and for learning, and for each student to have a voice, whereas in a live class, there are always some students that just get lost, either because they aren't comfortable thinking just like that, or they just need longer to think about something. And so that's an exciting thing. But in terms of grading, it's just like any other class. The students can access their grades in their classroom and be kept up to date with that. And so it's that part of things would be pretty familiar.
Okay. Can the student determine their workload?
In terms of the amount of classes they can take, yes. Since our classes are 12 weeks long, we encourage students to take no more than 3 classes from us at a time. So if you are a full-time student with us, you would take 3 classes per term, and or 3 credits per term. And we have a deal. I don't know if I don't want to sound like a used car salesman here, but we have a deal that if you take 8 classes with us, you get a ninth free. And so that would be 3 classes per term, with the ninth class being free.
Okay. Well, we do have a caller with a question right now. Dennis from O'Fallon, thank you so much for joining Faith and Family.
Hi there. Good morning. I was wanting to ask what internet bandwidth requirement is there for, or do you suggest?
Were you able to hear that, Jocelyn?
Yes, I was. That's a fantastic question. And that's actually one of the things that I love about asynchronous classes, that regardless of your bandwidth, even if you have dial-up internet, you could access our classes. It might take a little bit longer in terms of watching a video that our teachers have recorded, but you can hit play, let it buffer until it's fully buffered, and then hit play again in terms of that. And so bandwidth shouldn't be a barrier.
Okay, thank you so much, Dennis, for calling in.
Yes, thank you.
All right, I was going to ask you too, Jocelyn. What are your hopes for the future? This sounds like something that the possibilities are endless with how many students and where they can be from. Where do you see the future of this maybe in 5 or 10 years from now?
Sure. Well, Lord willing, we will continue to grow while still remaining faithful to each step, you know, the task at hand. We don't want to grow too big too fast,
right,
and miss out on all of the learning opportunities as we go along. But 5 to 10 years from now, we would I don't see our course offerings being a whole lot different, other than being able to add more levels. I know in terms of language classes, and that's really a hallmark of classical education is language, Latin, Greek, knowing the languages of our fathers, of our church fathers. So having Latin readings and Latin prose and Latin poetry classes. One thing that we're going to add for next year is we're going to start some clubs. I'm going to start a psychology club there with the end goal of that being preparing the students to take the psychology CLEP test if they so desire. CLEP test allows them to receive college credit. So that would be something that they would do on their own outside of psychology club or whatever. You know, we'd like to start maybe a science club, maybe a math club, a Latin club. You know, opportunities for kids around the country to join together in their learning, to have fun, knowing that their foundation is their common confession of their faith. And it's really exciting in terms of that. In addition, we also are looking to build a curriculum that would not necessarily be online, but would have online resources and online access for families, for students pre, you know, sixth or seventh grade. And so it would be more of a written curriculum, a classical Lutheran curriculum. And so the possibilities are exciting, as you said. It's fun to be part of this. You would be, maybe you wouldn't be amazed, but I continue to be just enthralled and thrilled with the people that we have been able to meet through this. We go to conferences here and there, and just being able to encourage families and send emails back and forth with parents, encouraging them in their vocation as parents. And that's really what we want to do. We aren't in this to make $1 million or to ever get rich. I don't have that desire at all. We just want to serve. We want to serve families in their vocation as the primary educators of their children. And whatever we can do to support them and encourage them. And I tell parents over and over, even if you don't partner with Wittenberg Academy, we're still praying for you and we're still here for you if you have questions about this, that, or any other thing. We're not necessarily a business in terms of that, but we want to serve and support families that are interested in giving their kids a classical Lutheran education all the way through high school.
Now, if parents or students want to learn more, where can they look online? What do they need to look up?
Sure. The best place to access us is wittenbergacademy.org, WittenbergAcademy.org, so wittenbergacademy.org. That's our website. And on there are a lot of different resources. All of our newsletters, I send out a monthly e-newsletter. All of those are archived on our website. We're also on Facebook, so you can access that. The easiest place to access that is from our website to like us on Facebook. We're also on Twitter. And if you have any questions, you can email me, Mrs. Benson at wittenbergacademy.org, Benson being B-E-N-S-O-N, so Mrs. Benson at wittenbergacademy.org. Always happy to chat with families and provide whatever resources we can within our means.
All right. With just about 30 seconds left, give us your pitch on why is this something that maybe should really be looked into for Lutherans?
Sure. We are charged not only as parents, it is our duty and our vocation to educate our children for life in this world and the next. So providing our children with a solid foundation for heading out in the world is commanded by God, and by the grace of that same mighty God, we go forward in striving to do so.
All right, Jocelyn Benson, thank you so much for joining us today on Faith and Family. It's been an honor to talk with you, and we wish you all the best, and we will pray for your success with this adventure.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much for having us.
Oh, it's been great. All right, well, coming up Monday on Faith and Family, we're going to kick off our week-long discussion on preparing for marriage. What issues should be talked about during premarital counseling to prevent problems down the road? Dr. Buddy Mendez of Concordia University of Irvine, California, will tell us. So plan to join us on Monday at 11 on Faith and Family. Thanks for joining us. Have a great weekend.